Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In our past lesson and in this lesson today, we're studying about one of the most powerful weapons that Satan has in his arsenal against the Christian. We pointed out that being a Christian, we're involved in a warfare. We're to be soldiers of the cross, soldiers in the army of the Lord. We have a spiritual battle. It's not a physical warfare. It's a spiritual battle. And we need to recognize that we have an enemy, and that enemy is Satan. And his goal is to subvert the souls of all mankind, every individual, even those who have turned their back on him and have become Christians. And he has weapons with which to fight his side of the battle, just as the Christian is given certain weapons, the armor of God, of which we read in Ephesians chapter 6. But friend, even though we have weapons provided for us, Satan has weapons that he uses against us. And the most powerful weapon, at least one of the most powerful ones, I suggest, is provided by those who profess to be Christians. Now, this is not true of all. In fact, it's not true of but a small minority of those who profess to be Christians. But it just takes a few Christians to give the devil this weapon that can cause great harm to the cause of Christ. And he uses it very effectively. Now, it's not my purpose in these lessons to bash the church. No, some have the mission in their mind that they want to destroy all religion. They want to destroy Christianity in particular, because Christianity makes them accountable before God, and that's the last thing that they want. They want what they want, but they don't want to be accountable to God. And therefore, we will not bash the church, but there are some in the church that cause the cause of Christ great harm, and they give the devil a great weapon. We are bringing this to our attention so that those who are Christians can make correction of things that need to be corrected. And what is that weapon that the Christian can provide and does provide to Satan? Friend, it is hypocrisy. Now, we may as well admit it. Others recognize it. We dare not deny that it does exist among some, and then get on with the task of doing something about it. Have you not heard, and I've heard it many times through the years, trying to persuade a person to become a Christian, and the person will say, "Well, I am just as good as so-and-so, and he's a member of the church." Well, on that basis and on that grounds, they refuse to continue to consider even becoming a Christian. Of course, that's no justification for not becoming a Christian. Just look at it for a moment. People will say, "I'm just as good as that person who professes to be a Christian." Friend, nobody is going to go to heaven on the basis of the faults of somebody else. And nobody is going to go to heaven because there are some hypocrites in the church. But the trouble is, those outside the church are sometimes living a life that will almost put to shame the lives of some people who claim to be Christians. That's what I'm talking about. Now, that's not true of all. That's not true of most. But it's true of enough to where it gives the devil a weapon to fight against the welfare of the souls of those who are yet lost. The sad fact of the matter is that both the one who has never come to Christ and the one who is a hypocrite, they are both going to spend an eternity together in hell. But one will not go there as an alien. But one will go there as an alien who has never become a Christian. The other will go there as a hypocrite who says he's become a Christian. If there was anything that came under fierce barrage of attack by the Lord Jesus while he was here on this earth, it is the sin of hypocrisy. You go and read the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew. 8 times in less than 12 verses, our Lord scathingly denounced and condemned hypocrisy. Well, what is hypocrisy? Well, hypocrisy is professing to be something that you are not. It's pretending to be something that you don't really intend to be. It is saying one thing and doing something quite different. For instance, we will sing the song, I love thy kingdom, Lord, but we'll forsake the assembly of worship. We'll withhold a liberal giving of our means. We have the attitude of let the other fellow do it when it comes to the work of the church. And we'll let the social and the secular and the sporting events of our world interfere with our worship, interfere with being a Christian, interfere with the work that is to be done, interfere with the manner of life in which we're supposed to live. What do you mean, I love thy kingdom, Lord, and put other things before the Lord's kingdom? Sometimes we find those who profess to be Christians, they're just as unkind and uncouth in their speech. They're ill-mannered, they're ill-tempered, just about as much as anybody else. It seems that they have almost the same goals as those who live for the devil. Well, they'll read the same filthy books. They'll watch the same dirty television shows. They'll laugh and tell the same suggestive jokes. They'll use the same vile, corrupt, vainglorious speech that contaminates the soul and the mind of men. They'll even drink the same brand of liquor. They'll dance to the same tunes, and they'll often be found in the same degenerate places, in the bars and the taverns. And then they will marry and divorce with impunity. They'll mistreat their families the same way as those who are outside of Christ. They'll neglect the spiritual welfare of their children, just like others who don't care for the soul. Their tongues are full of gossip. They slander, they lie, they backbite, just like most anybody else. And they sow just as much discord and unhappiness as those who make no effort in following Christ. Now, I say that is true of some because we've seen it too many times to let it be denied. It's a reality. The fact is, we don't want to be among that element in the church. In fact, there's something we can do about that. But the point I'm making here is hypocrisy does exist. And Satan uses that hypocrisy to persuade people not to become Christians. You see, the Christian is to respect God's order. He is to respect the Lord's church. To disregard the doctrine of Christ, to disregard the government of his kingdom, the church, to disregard the necessity of a godly life, and being indulgent in things that are sinful, permissive and stained with transgression, why, that's unbecoming to a child of God. And don't we realize that the devil is simply saying to those who are out of the church, see there, that's a Christian for you. Do you want to be like that? Well, of course, nobody wants to be like that. Nobody with good sense wants to be like that. There are a lot of people, however, who are like that. And too often, however, you can't tell the difference between a member of the church and one who's not unless you've got a roll book. You can't tell by the peculiar, distinctive, godly life that the Christian is supposed to live, and that is a shame and a disgrace. Damage is done by the materialistic, self-seeking, worldly-minded members of the church. It's beyond measure the havoc that he causes. He tears down faster than the godly soul can build up. And all the devil needs is just a few of these so-called hypocritical Christians to louse up years of work in saving souls. To think that this powerful weapon has handled the devil by his enemies, it's almost unthinkable. Well, now, there are two reasons why this weapon is so powerful. One reason is because the precious soul, that of the hypocrite, is lost. Oh, yes, he was once saved, but he turned back again to the ways of condemnation. Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, they're essential to going to heaven, but so is a faithful life as a Christian. But another reason the devil is effective with this weapon is because those who are yet lost and have never come to Christ, they'll be turned off from considering Christ. They won't even give the Lord's way a fair showing and hearing. They'll laugh and scoff at the inconsistency and the sin of a Christian, and they go on their own way, on their way to hell, thinking that it won't make any difference. Yes, the weapon of hypocrisy is powerful. It will keep the lost lost, and it can even turn the saved to be lost again. Well, what can we do about it? Well, some say we must get that weapon out of Satan's hands. Yes, but how do you do that? Well, the emphasis is the Christian must be truly converted. Away with this hit 'em quick and trick 'em in and shallow conversion. We must convince people and convict them of their sins, not to make them feel good, regardless of the kind of life that they're living. People must be sincere and honest about serving the Lord. We must realize that there is no command of the Lord that we can push aside as if it doesn't matter. When Christians live godly lives, when they're good examples, when they pay their debts, do honest work, when they keep their speech clean and guide their homes and their children God's way, when they keep themselves unspotted from the world and practice love and cheerfulness, dismissing envy and jealousy and hatred and grumbling, we can be grateful for their blessing and that God puts they put God and His kingdom first in their life. That will snatch away from Satan that weapon of hypocrisy that's placed there by some wayward members of the church. And then there must be attempts to recover the fallen. And if these efforts fail, rather than to allow Satan to continue to batter the church with weapon of hypocrisy, we must use the procedures of discipline that God has taught in His Word and cut off the evildoer from among the saved. This has been a neglected matter in the 20th and 21st century. We are paying an awesome price because of the toleration and permission of sin in the church. We continue to let the devil have his weapon sometimes because of hypocrisy, and he uses it so well. Friend, it's a tragedy for anyone to be lost. It's a tragedy for one not to come to Christ, because only in Christ is there salvation. And it's a tragedy for anyone to be used by Satan. It's a tragedy for a person to allow himself to be used by Satan. It is particularly a tragedy when one who has recognized his need of salvation and has come to Christ, and he lives a hypocritical life, and as a result, he misrepresents the Lord and misrepresents the church, and he causes people to be misled to their own condemnation. We don't want to be among that number, do we? Let's indeed take away from Satan this weapon of hypocrisy. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.